11 AA meeting. My name is Cecilia, and I am an alcoholic. Welcome to the Monday night Blue Chip Speakers meeting at the NAVA Club, where a member of Alcoholics Anonymous with 1 year or more of sobriety tells his or her story. Each individual in our own personal stories describes in their own language and from their own point of view the way they establish their relationship with God. These give a fair cross-section of our membership and clear-cut idea of what has happened in their lives. We hope no one will consider these self-revealing accounts in bad taste. Our hope is that many alcoholic men and women in our room tonight and listening later on aabluechipspeakers.org, desperately in need, will hear our speaker, and we believe that it is only by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems that any of us shall be persuaded to say, yes, I am one of them too. I must have this thing. Let's introduce our speaker tonight, who came all the way from Buford, from the Main Street group, and it's Rebecca Keith.
My name is Rebecca, and I'm an alcoholic. And my sobriety date is April 26th of 1988. I do have a home group, 530 at Main Street, that up in Buford, Georgia. If you're ever available, come see us. We meet on Monday and Wednesdays. We actually study the big book paragraph at a time on Monday, and then we rotate literature on Wednesdays. And I do have a sponsor, my sweet Dot, and she was kind enough to come with me tonight. And thank you guys for coming down to the meeting after our other meeting. So, you know, it's funny, I was down here, another friend of ours spoke down here a little while ago, and Annie came up to me, she goes, I wish you would speak. And I was like, well, at least I hadn't asked me. And she goes, yes, you did. She said you wouldn't do it. And I'm sitting there going, what? Why would I say that? You know, like it didn't even dawn on me what she was talking about. And I go, Lisa, why would I tell you no? And she goes, oh, because you're taking care of your mother. And it was like, it didn't. And so over the weekend, I was looking for something, and I scrolled back through my phone to see if I had the information on a text message. And it was about the same time last year that she asked me. My mom just had gone on to hospice. And so I finished whatever commitments I already had, and I took no other commitments because she was my primary purpose, for which I'm grateful. The Alcoholics Anonymous taught me how to serve in a fellowship that gave her a daughter that at the end of her life could be there to serve her. So I'm really grateful. And thank you, Lisa, for asking me and for understanding. You know, that's what was so wonderful about the whole thing. It, like, it didn't even dawn on me. Like was read earlier, to share in a general way, would I used to be like what happened and what I'm like today. And I would have never have thought that I would still be here. Like I don't even know, you know, it was kind of like what happened. And it still amazes me today. I grew up out in Stone Mountain on the Gwinnett County side, and very rural back then in the early 60s. You know, I had two parents. I have a brother. And we kind of lived just a garden variety life. I mean, you know, my dad worked downtown. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. And, you know, we went to church. We had responsibilities at church. And, that's how I was brought up. You know, you respect your elders. Back then, you know, you call them by their last name. And ironically, my fifth grade teacher, she went to church with my best friend's parents. And so when her dad passed away, she was there at the service. And it's like, Mrs. Dobbs, you know, like I was so excited to see her. And she, as far as I was concerned, she still looked the same as she did in the fifth grade. But like it was just that's just how I grew up. And there wasn't really anything really big eventful that went on in my household. You know, I was the youngest on our block, so, you know, I lived in a very big fantasy world. you know, like the dogs are my best friends, and my mom would say, like, who are all these people she's talking about? And then she finally realized it was the dogs, you know, and, you know, I had to make sure to let the dog out on Sunday so she'd go to doggy church. I mean, you know, I don't know where I came up with some of these really bizarre ideas, but there you go. And it always seems to be, and I was always a follower. So if somebody, if I wanted to go left and somebody else wanted to go right, I just would go right. And that would get me in trouble some, but it also served me well in Alcoholics Anonymous, because when my sponsor went to do things, I just want to follow along. So there were some benefits to that. You know, growing up, they would let us, I remember my friend and I, we wanted to get drunk, and so our parents didn't want us out and about, and so they brought everything at home to let us do that. Now, I don't remember the act of getting drunk. What I remember is the planning of it. You know, and when I was a teenager, we would sit around the house, play canasta, drink strawberry daiquiris, get the dog drunk, and that was it. That's what we did. You know, we would call restaurants and make reservations for large parties, and you know, I got paid back on that one later on in life when I was waiting tables. But, I mean, that was about the mischief we got into. We weren't out running the streets and that kind of stuff. And so, you know, one of the things that did happen, my brother had some friends over. They were working on a car, and the guy came in, and long story short, I was molested, and I was pregnant at 13. And, you know, in the 70s, that wasn't so cool. And so it was decided I'd have an abortion, and my parents did send me to some outside help. They knew that I would need that. But it also, you know, changed my whole perception about, you know, men and dating and all of that. You know, I had some warped ideas. You know, my mom blamed her getting hooked on soap operas because I had colic, and I wanted to blame her that I got hooked on crazy ideas about relationships from the soap operas. But my perceptions of reality were just, you know, way off. Like I say, I lived in a fantasy world. I had Barbies and, you know, I love to elaborate through them. And, you know, when I got on into high school and stuff, because of what had gone on, things went around high school and people were just mean. I mean, I guess it's not too much different than today, and rumors and talk, and it's just, I just checked out. I blanked on high school, just totally blanked on high school. And I had a wreck in my senior year in the spring. I needed one class to graduate, so I had to get a tutor to come in, and my mom was back working at this point, so they got different church members to come because the tutor couldn't be there by themselves, so that I would actually graduate. And about this time, here was the summer that I graduated, and that's really kind of when my drinking took off, and me being a wild child and, you know, dating older men and staying out all night after my mom had some major surgery, and, you know, the embarrassment of her coming over to his house, and my grandmother was there too because she was out to take care of my mom. And, you know, I think about the peace of mind that I robbed for my mom, you know, out doing those things. I mean, obviously, she knew exactly where I was. So, I mean, you know, I guess if nothing else, I wasn't running the streets just yet. So I tried to go to college, but I was having to pay for it myself. And, you know, by this time, I'm having to work full-time, and I'm drinking full-time, and trying to go to school full-time, and one full-time had to go, and that was school. Because I didn't know what to do. I didn't have any ambition, no clue what I was going to do when I grew up. And so I started, you know, that's when my drinking started even heavier. And, you know, it amazes me today. Like, I'm surprised I'm this awake because normally I'm in bed already by now. That's why my home group starts at 5:30 at night. But anyway, you know, I could, on Friday night, I could work all day, go out and party till 1 or 2 in the morning, and turn around and be at work at 7 in the morning, work all day again, and do that again the next night and work the following day, too. And I just get exhausted thinking about that in the day, you know. It's got to be something pretty good for me to stay out late. I think that comes with a little bit of old age and maybe a little bit of wisdom there. Anyway, so that's when I started with more of the drinking and going to the parties and driving drunk and don't know why I didn't never get a DUI. Don't know why I never killed anybody. It wasn't because I didn't deserve those things. I did one time, though, get a public drunk. I don't know why I was dating this guy that didn't have a place. That should have been that should be clue A right there. And so for whatever reason, we always go to cemeteries to make out. And so we were at this church and making out. And so the police came by because they'd had some break-ins and stuff. And so they towed my car, and it's like, excuse me, this is my car. I didn't stand up and say that. So anyway, so kind of find out, I don't know even how it all went down. But anyway, I guess when I went to pick up my car, I guess they figured it out. And then he got carted off to jail because he had a warrant out for him. And then I tried to do everything. I tried to plead with my parents to do something to get him out. You know, like, oh, my God, he loves me. You know, it's what sick means sick, really sick. I think I still married him, you know. Needless to say, I'm sure my parents would have done a bigger party. I gave my mom 1 week. 1 week. And I tell you what, that woman pulled it off. She went and found me a little dress and everything. Bless her soul. Oh, my gosh. I never saw my dad so mad. But anyway, you know, we had one of those fights, and I went home, and my parents did the most loving thing that they could. They go, you can come here tonight, but you need to make a decision. Because they didn't want to be part of a revolving door. It was painful. It was painful for them, what I was going through. And so I ended up leaving that marriage and that kind of stuff, and continued the drinking, continuing the party, and, you know, going to, what was it, Justin's up in Suwannee there. And, you know, no disregard that my brother was there and drunk, and they took his hubcaps and stuff. And it's like, I'll find your own way home. You know, just blasé about it. And then I met my late husband, George, working at a hotel. The matter of fact, y'all know the one at 285 and 85, the round one. It used to be the Presidential Hotel. And so he was a bartender, and I worked the front desk, and he would come up and call me sweetheart and darling. And if he was here today, he'd be doing that anyway. You know, I just thought it was special for me. And so there again, it was also sick meets sick because we were both drinking, you know. And he was actually even staying in a hotel room. And I thought, well, how cool is that? He's got his own speakers and everything. And I forgot what kind of lame excuse he gave me. He gave me some lame excuse about it. Oh, my gosh. You know, I just get amazed. But, you know, once again, my mom pulled off a nice wedding. And so, you know, but really, truly, you know, even though we were drinking and crazy and that kind of stuff, that man really loved me. And I know that today. And, you know, his mom, I wasn't too sure about how much his mom liked me or not. There wasn't big signs. And later to come to find out, it was just nothing more than that alcoholism. It was nothing more about our drinking and that kind of stuff and the craziness. you know, and Georgia had a DUI, so I wasn't allowed to drink until we got home, you know, but I was one that once I started, I couldn't stop. And I remember calling getting with somebody and making amends to him. And he goes, oh, I just thought you were tired. I was like, really? No, I passed out. You know, and like I'd invite somebody from the hotel that, you know, this couple living in the hotel, come on up. I'll fix you a nice home-cooked meal and put a smoke, you know, the roast was out on the smoker and that kind of stuff. Well, I made the mistake of starting drinking. And we kept the tequila in a pantry, and so every time I walked past that pantry, I had to have more. It was amazing how often I'd go in that kitchen. You know, so I'd always have these big plans, and I'd never know what was going to happen. I would never know till the next day what I did or didn't do. And you know, that was just our lives. That was it, long and short. And I wore those extended wear contacts, and I had scratched my eye, and so I thought it was bad enough, so I went to the hospital. Now, we're like waiting tables, and we're making ends meet, but not much more left over. And, you know, newlyweds, and scratched the eye. So I went to the emergency room, and it's like, crap, now we got all these bills. But all they did was give me Neosporin for my eye. Well, we lived in a trailer, and I'd gone underneath it for something. I don't remember what it was. And I hit the beam underneath it so hard that I knocked one of those contacts out, and I was so excited because I found it on the dirt, you know. And I went back to work, you know, with like two black eyes here, and, you know, which doesn't look good waiting tables, but, and I said I wasn't drunk when I did it, but I sure was drunk afterwards. And it's like, a little while after this program, it was like, you know, if you have to justify you weren't drunk when you did something, that might be a good sign that you were drunk. And so, what happened was I actually did that again. Was I scratched the eye again, and I thought, well, okay, we're going to be smart this time. We're not going to go to the hospital. We're just going to go to the doctor's office, because last time they just gave me Neosporin, so that's probably what they're going to do again, and why not do that? And so George was going to work, and I said, just drop me off. Oh, my grandmother or my mom will come, you know, like I'm just going to impose on anybody. They're just going to drop everything to take care of me. And so I went to the doctor, and he took one look at my eye, and he sent me straight down to the ophthalmologist. And I was like, what the world? And so he took one look at my eye, and he sent me straight to the hospital. Now, I call up George. This at work. So picture a dark night like tonight, nice and foggy. And I tell George what's going on. I'm going to the hospital and stuff. And then I call up my mom, just bawling. And I forgot what was needed at the house. Something was needed from the house. And so my mom tracked all the way up to the house to get it. But I don't think she had a key or something. I don't know. Either way, I just put everybody, like, everybody drop everything because I need something. You know, and it's me doing stuff when I'm drunk. So for the next 24 hours, every 30 minutes, they put drops in my eye, and then the next 24 hours, every hour, they put drops in my eye. And, you know, today I do have a small scar there, but it didn't affect my eyesight. So I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful I had kept that same ophthalmologist for years. I just have recently changed. But anyway, while I was in the hospital there, a thought came to me, which is, this is your only chance to sober up. And by God's grace, I have not had a drink since then. Now, thank you. So this was in April. Now, I didn't know anything about Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't know anything about any kind of treatment. I didn't know anything about anything. So imagine me walking around my house saying, look at me. Look how cool I am. I can stop drinking. Why can't you? You know, what is he going to do? He drinks more. And it's like, well, why can't you drink?
what's wrong with you? I was not a pleasant person to live with. Let's just say that. I was definitely a witch, if you know what I mean. And so George would continue to drink, continue to get drunk. And one day, now mind, we're renting. But I think that I should paint the porch. And so we push it out a little bit. But the mail comes. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I don't know how much mail you get when you're renting. So I go running out, forget that the porch is pushed out, and I come down on a center block. I do go and get the mail, and then proceed to drive in a 5-speed on that ankle to my grandmother's, which is 45 minutes away. And my dad has stopped by, and like my ankle's now this big, and he goes, "You have to go to the emergency room." It's like, I can't afford it. You know, so they made me go anyway. And so they put me in one of those boots, one of those walking casts. Now, by this time, I'm actually working up in Buford, and so working 40 hours on my feet and wondering why my foot hurts so much. And so they said, nope, you can only work part-time. So imagine what it was like at my house. I got time on my hands. I'm not drinking. I don't have a solution. And now I have financial insecurity on top of it. It's amazing that man survived that time. But God intervened, and our neighbor came home from a birthday party. And it's like, but your birthday was just a month ago. Well, she came home for her sobriety birthday. And so within 24 hours, she had my husband in treatment. And I was like, well, why couldn't I do that? But they gave me the great gift. They told me to go to Al-Anon. And see, I was like, see, I told you it was his problem. I told you it was all his fault that I drank. So I started Al-Anon. He went to treatment. The first 2 weeks he wanted to come home. The second 2 weeks he wanted to stay. And it's like, what's wrong in this picture? I did not get to go to Club Med of Buford like you did. You know, so, but there was something about it. You know, they had, he was there in August, so I guess it was over Labor Day. They had a picnic for all the patients and their families and stuff. There was a meeting that met downstairs, Morningside Group. And so at that picnic, people were laughing and having a good time. And there was just some kind of spirit about it. And it's like, wow. Huh. You know, and I knew things, you know, I felt better when I went to some Al-Anon meetings. I'm going to tell you that. I appreciate that. But fortunately for me, there was also a open AA meeting in the trailer park that we lived in on a Wednesday night, by the way. And so that's where I caught alcoholism, that I had the issue, that I had the problem as well. That I didn't drink like normal people. I'm like it was in the like it says in the book. You know, once I started, I couldn't stop. You know, but see, I didn't think that I was powerless over it, and that my life was unmanageable because I still was married. I had a home. I had a job, and we had 2 cars. And so, so that's where my journey began, and. You know, I had some crazy ideas about that. You know, we're supposed to work the steps at the same rate. You know, you don't tell anything outside the house. And I remember one time I did call this Al-Anon lady about something. It wasn't anything big, but I actually took the action of calling somebody. And we went to meetings every day. In the beginning, when George got out of treatment, like, we couldn't do anything on a day off without going to the noon meeting and the 8 o'clock meeting. And I was like, geez, do we have to go again? Yes is the answer. You know, and they were talking about things in there, and they were talking about going to different meetings and stuff, and, you know, I thought they'd been sober a long time, and they'd only been sober like a couple of years. Now, there was one gentleman that had been sober for a while, and he would be down here, and, you know, they helped start the meetings up there in Gwinnett County and that kind of stuff. But I was like going, oh, yeah, no, we got to work the four step at the same time, and, you know, just as crazy things. Now, I will tell you one thing. I did not get a sponsor right away, and I don't recommend that. You know, I had an idiot for a sponsor, which was myself, and so I didn't progress very far. And I had another bottom in sobriety but I can tell you I did some things right during that time. Somewhere I'd heard about prayer and meditation, and so I got like the Daily Reflections or one of those other books, and I found there was a difference in my day when I read that and when I didn't read it. And I may not remember it 5 minutes after but taking that action, I remember that. And, you know, it was chaotic. But they would talk about things. I don't remember it talking about sponsorship like they do today. Like someone want to be a temporary sponsor. And most of the ones that I went to meetings with were older than me. There were some that were younger. And so, but they would talk about the book, but I didn't know they were talking about the book. Because they would talk about, you know, you feel better when the cow gets off your foot. And then they talk about rocketing in the fourth dimension. Now, I didn't think when the cow got off your foot was in there. So needless to say, when I got in the bookstore and Rocketing in the Fourth Dimension was in the book, I'm like going, it's in the book. It's there. But I went to a workshop, and I would go to this workshop two or three times a year. It was a women's retreat, and I'd always go to the four step. And the four step would just never make any sense to me whatsoever. Well, if you haven't worked 1, 2, and 3 with a sponsor, no wonder 4 doesn't make sense. And so I finally got desperate, and I asked this lady to be my sponsor, and she goes, okay, but you need to go to the step meeting in Norcross. And so I said, okay. You know, now I work in Alpharetta, and I need to get to Norcross. Now, this was back, I just had started. It was in 96. So I'm not saying traffic wasn't bad, but it didn't seem as bad as it is today. But and so I would go. I would every Tuesday. That meeting was on Tuesday. And when I got there, then it's like you have to have a home group, and you need to go to big book study and a step meeting. It's like, wow. Oh, and don't forget you have to go to group conscience too. Oh, and you do need to have a service commitment. I'm like, girl, who are these people? What are they talking about? And so, I mean, it scared me. It did. I wasn't going to say no because, you know, they'll kick me out. You know, I thought when I got there that they would think that I was a fraud because I'd been sober a while, but I hadn't done the steps, and I didn't have a sponsor, and I thought for sure they would kick me out. And then they were going to be grading homework afterwards. You know, I just had some really warped ideas. But I kept going to that meeting and working through the steps. And that lady that I asked, she quit coming. And so, of course, the most appropriate person to ask would be her sponsor. And so I did that. And so I went through a couple of rounds of the steps with her. And the second time, her dad was sick. And so she said, I want you to pick one of these two ladies to listen to your fifth step, and then we could pick back up. And so I thought, I'm afraid of that one because she did a lot of service work and was very active in AA. She would go to meetings all over town and stuff. So I said, I'll pick the other one. Well, after the meeting, the other one was gone. And I said, oh, crap. I'm stuck with the other one. And so I asked her, and so she was so willing and so gracious, and I'm very grateful. You know, come to find out the other one was just outside. But in a lot of ways, I'm glad that the other one was outside because she's one of my best friends today. And so, you know, but that changed my life, you know, and I want to back up on two things. Two things that I did do right in my early sobriety was I did pay back my grandmother, who borrowed money all my life. That's, you know, I thought, well, that's just what you do. You borrow from your grandmother. I got taught that by my parents. Anyway, you know, and I was able to pay her back, and I was able to go and visit her just to visit her. And, you know, when she passed, we were square. And, matter of fact, we had gone away. She passed the day before our wedding anniversary, and we'd gone out at We Raticam when she passed. And, but she told us to go. And so we did. And, that was in 90. And then my dad passed in December of 91. And she was down here at the VA hospital, and George would give me a hard time. And so what I would do, matter of fact, I would come to Nava quite often because I would either try to loop in a meeting along with the visit, because it was during the winter time, and we worked out at Lake Lanier Island, so the winter time is slow. And so, you know, George is giving me a hard time about gas money, and it's like, well, I'm doing it anyway. Which I didn't do that in early sobriety very often, which I know that surprises some people today. But, you know, and I was able to show up for my family. And I was out at the Waverly when someone called me to go meet somebody at security. And it's like, who knows that I'm here? And so when I came back up, I called the hospital, and they said that he'd passed. And so I had a really kind manager that he wouldn't let me leave because he knew somebody was coming to get me. And he didn't want me to drive in a shock state. And he just let 1,000 people banquet go on, and he sat there till George got there. Which, you know, in hindsight, I thought, wow, how thoughtful of that. You know, and it's one of those things in retrospect, you wish you kind of had done some of those things a little different, but I did the best I could at that time. And so things continued to rock on. Like I say, I had that the home group. Matter of fact, my first commitment was in a group. Didn't understand it at all whatsoever. I think I might need to come to another round of inner group because I understand it a whole lot more now. And you know, but they got me into service. And this guy was chairing the Atlanta Roundup and invited my sponsor to come to the volunteer meeting. And I go, can I go with you? She goes, yeah. Like, I thought you had to have a personal invitation to volunteer at the Atlanta Roundup. Like, I seriously had no clue. Seriously, no clue whatsoever. It's like, yeah, you can put stickers on people. It's like, really? I like hiding behind the registration table a lot more because you learn people's names a lot quicker, and there's like a little space between you, which is what I like to do it better. But, you know, nowadays I don't mind putting stickers on people and hugging and saying hello. So, but, you know, that was the group, and that group showed me that. They showed me that. So it wasn't like I needed to invent anything. I just needed to do what they did to get what they got, you know, and it's, you know, and for me, the journey of the steps led me back to that connection of a higher power. I had a higher power all along. I just didn't know how to rely on it and how to, you know, invite him in my day, in my, just my day-to-day. Like I do today, invite him in. And so, you know, it got to a point that it was a lot more It was harder to get over there. My aunt was aging. And we ended up, she ended up going into a nursing home and stuff over in Cummings. And so I ended up switching home groups and doing stuff over in the Cummings area because I could leave Alpharetta, get to Cummings where my mom and my aunt lived, could have dinner with them, or at least stop by and see them. And I did that every Tuesday. And then I could still make a 6:30 meeting. And so I did that for years. And then, you know, I was able to be present when my aunt died. And, you know, the difference between being plugged in and not being plugged in when my dad died, I called one person because he knew my dad. When my aunt died, I called one person and y'all came. You know, everybody from that group came. My sponsor came. Everybody came. And it was, I mean, what a difference when you're plugged in to have that support. And so I continued on with service work. That best friend of mine, she was working. She just had moved back from Wisconsin. Why she ever moved? But anyway, so that's her story. But anyway, she worked in Alpharetta. I worked in Alpharetta. She lived in North Cumming. I lived in Buford, but we needed a meeting. And so we started a meeting there in Cumming. And she could commit to Thursday nights, and I committed to Tuesday night. And that meeting is still there today, not because of us, but it was like it was something that we needed, and we made sure to get out of literature. And we had people come. We had, you know, this one guy court ordered. He goes, oh, I'm not an alcoholic. I just got caught. And it's like, okay, here's the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're going to introduce this to you. And it was good. You know, I mean, once I got going to meetings that were in the literature, I find myself to read it more. I personally don't sit and just read this book. I wish I could say I do, but I don't. And at our home group, we actually have found a 1939 dictionary that we look up some of these words to see what it meant back then. And so it's interesting to compare that with the dictionary. So during that time, I guess at the Cumming group, I became the alternate GSR, and our GSR didn't like to go and make it. I don't know why she didn't like to go to make it. It's like the blast. I'm one of those nerds that love going down there. It, you know, it's very much a part of our program, all of service is, but, you know, doing that level of service, caring to see how the process of things go through all of the comforts and all of that is quite fascinating. And so, I did have the pleasure of serving Area 16 on Panel 64 for our General Service Conference. And for that, I'm so grateful. You know, during that time, that was after my husband passed away in June of 2010, and he'd had a stroke and passed in 5 days. And there again, y'all were there. I called when I got the message that he had had a stroke, they asked me not to drive and not to rush because they were moving him to ICU. So I'd been out and about doing things, and so I called the neighbor, and they didn't answer. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to take a quick rinse, change clothes. I tried the neighbor again. They didn't answer. I tried a friend. They didn't answer. The neighbor called right back, told him what was going on. He was over there in 2 seconds. And the friend called back, too, and I told her what was going on. And she immediately called my sponsor and went through the through the chain, and my sponsor was there in no time. The whole, quite a few of the ladies that I sponsor, friends, they all showed up, and I called the family. It was Father's Day, and I said, don't rush, but yes, please come. And so so we were all there, you know, and well, I did get to bring him home, and so they made sure that there was food there, that there was nothing that I needed, nothing I had to think about, nothing. My brother and a couple of friends of my husband's went to the house to get it ready for him to come home. And y'all just picked up and loved. Y'all picked up and loved on my sister-in-law that had no idea. And my other sister-in-law that did know about Alcoholics Anonymous was still floored the way that y'all showed up. And y'all didn't show up just for me. Y'all showed up for my entire family. And so, you know, and so it was after that that I was elected as delegate. And that kept me very busy, which is probably smart. God knew that I wouldn't know how to, you know, this brain of mine to start thinking about other men and that kind of stuff and dating, you know. And every once in a while, one of those would sneak in, so I got to entertain my sponsor with that, which she deeply appreciated that entertainment there. And so, you know, but she kept saying, when it's time, it's time. When it's time, it's time. And so, like I say, I was way too busy at delegate to even think about that. And my mom started harassing me about 5 years afterwards. And I said, no, somewhere in this keen alcoholic mind of mine, I did have a rule that I had to wait at least 5 years. I don't know where I heard that from, where I made that up from. But thank God, serving Area 16 is an 8-year commitment. So I was very busy, which was good. But I did meet a nice young man, actually 7 years ago, which is hard to believe. And so that we've been together since then. And so, you know, and he's not one of us, but he just has a kind spirit and a kind heart and a real gentleman. So, like I said, this time last year, my mom went under hospice care, and she had the best hospice nurse and the best nurses, and I couldn't ask for a better time. And so due to the pandemic, I now work remote, and so I was able to set up an office in her spare room and take over her other bedroom. And so I would go over there Sunday nights and come home on Thursday nights. And that's what I did from January to March 22nd of last year. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful that y'all taught me how to serve in Alcoholics Anonymous, and then I could take it home. And that's the whole point. You know, I would think, oh, I'm being so good at an AA meeting, and now I got to be good at home too. You know, now I don't think about it being good or bad. It's like what it says in the book. I've had a personality change, and this is who I want to be. I want to serve God. I want to serve His children. And I can only do that if I'm continuing to be in meetings, have commitments, and really deep and dive in this literature. I hooked up with this women's group during the pandemic to Zoom, and they let me Zoom while I work. And they've continued that even afterwards on Wednesdays. And we're studying the 12 and 12, a paragraph at a time, which I'd never done before. And we're just now finishing step 7, and it's taken us 2 years to get here. I think maybe we're working on a third. But anyway, you know, we're not rushing. And I need that. It's amazing the words that they put in the book that I didn't even know were there or forgot that they were there. And so that's what I do today. You know, and it's my job, but that's what I do. I serve others at my job. And so I try to practice these principles in all of my affairs. Am I perfect? No. Do I get frustrated and irritated and all of that? Of course I do. But, you know, way back to when I learned the difference of when I do those readings in the morning and I do them consistently, how my day is. Do I have good days and bad days about my mom? Absolutely. You know, do I have any regrets? I do not. And that is what's such a peace of mind that I learned here that I can do for others. And that's what I continue to do. I'm getting ready to celebrate 27 years of my job.
I mean, who? My mom goes, hey, go here. They're hiring a bunch of people. They'll take a chance on you. And I didn't take offense to it, and I went and did it. You know, my life is way beyond anything I would have ever imagined when I got here. I definitely would have shortchanged myself if I'd made a list. The gifts are endless, endless. So if you're new, keep coming back. It does work. You know, you don't have to get multiple white chips. If you do, you do. But the deal is, try it. Just try it. And I'm grateful. Thank you again, Lisa, for asking me to do this.
Thank you so much. This is an awesome story. And Derek is going to come and hand out the chips.
I'm Derek, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Derek.
Hey.
We got this really cool thing in Alcoholics Anonymous here at this meeting where we got a chip system to mark our time away from our last drink. And it's about the quantity of time, not necessarily the quality. That's only if you're honest as well. So, you know, anybody want a white chip? Start this way of life? Or you want to start this way of life over again? Yep, all right. There you go. Congratulations. Anyone else looking for a white chip? Keep on coming. That's awesome. Now, I will ask again, anybody else? And then we got options up here. We got gray and silver because the silver's back, right?
Yes.
30 days, 30 nights. We got to be in a row, though. Anybody got 30 days, 30 nights? We're proud of you. Yes. Which one you want? You want gray or silver? So, there you go. Congratulations. Four? All right. This is awesome. Which one do you want? You want gray? There you go. Congratulations. All right. Bronze for 60 days. Yes. All right. Hey, there you go. Yeah. Cool. We got red for 90 days. Yeah. What is it? Not a... So we start counting months. Anybody got 6 months? Green chip for 9 months. There you go.
Sweet. All right.
Congratulations. That's a big deal. Don't get to do that very often. 9 months, anybody else? And here's a chip that we recommend that you get as many as you can out of this. Blue chips for 1 year or multiples thereof.
Oh.
Get out of here.
I take
How many? How'd you do it?
Hi, I'm Avery, and I'm an alcoholic. This is 42 years.
Woo!
Thank you so much. And Rebecca pretty much ran down how I do it. I mean, when she said that, number one, I had to stop coming as a visitor. Because visitors come to go. They don't come to stay. So I had to get a home group. Then I had to get a sponsor. Because I needed to stop working those steps off the wall. And I needed somebody to guide me through them and show me how to work them. Then I had to work the steps. Then I had to pray. And I still do that today before I even get out of bed. And ask God to direct my day and just keep me sober today and show me what I can do to help. And the other thing, it sounds real easy. I have to relax and accept this thing with gratitude and humility, and I am profoundly grateful. And I'm not talking about that warm, fuzzy feeling in the pit of your stomach. I'm talking about the kind of gratitude that goes so deep down inside, it comes back up and it reaches out.
Thank you.
Surrender was the last thing I wanted to do. There ain't no denying the pain you put me through. I thought I knew you so well. Guess I have to blame myself for letting you burn me till I was head down, hellbound, digging that hole in my soul. Got tired, wound up, burned out. Devil turned a good girl into a liar. I didn't come here looking for the light. No, I came in here running from the fire. Sweet talking, heartbreaker, you had me believe that you loved me, but you gave me one match and gasoline. It all happened so fast, nothing was left but ashes. Running from the fire. From the fire.